Good morning, brothers and sisters. Before I start, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sabbath day. Thank you for so many things you've given us and blessed us. This morning, I want to ask for your Holy Spirit to calm my nerves, that I can be able to utter the words that I must speak this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'm about to share with you this morning has left me scars. So bear with me if I shed a tear or two. I'll try not to cry. Before I get into the main part of my story, let me share a little bit of my childhood. My father, since ever I remember, he was a drunk, abusive, irresponsible father that didn't care too much about us. He used to be a boxer, and he used to practice with my mom. And my mom, I remember, she didn't take too much of that. So she, when I was very young, she separated from my dad. And as I grew, I started getting into trouble. I started smoking. I started drinking. And I also started working at a very young age in Mexico. And I was getting too much in trouble. And by the time I was about 16 years of age, I started reflectioning, and I said to my mom, I said, I need to change my life around. I need to try to go to the United States and be with my grandma. She was living in Los Angeles. And let me tell you that the Lord has worked in my life, that He saved me from dangerous situations in my life. And when I was in Mexico, I used to go to the store and you buy tortillas there, not like you're going to the store. You buy like 1 or 2 pounds of tortillas. I would go to they call it tortilleria. So I would go there and I would have to cross the railroad tracks. And sometimes I didn't feel like waiting for the train to go by. So I just hop on the train and hop over it. And sometimes I would be with the bundle of tortillas on my hand, and I would just do it with one hand. And the Lord was watching over me several times that I could remember that. So when I was about 16 years old of age, I talked to my mom, and she said she agreed to let me go to the United States because she couldn't handle me. I was wild. I grew my hair long. I was listening to crazy music. I was smoking and drinking and partying. And so she agreed to let me go. So I'm on my way to, I called my grandma and asked her to loan me some money to pay for a smuggler. So I hired a smuggler. When I was at the Tijuana border, the smuggler told me, "Hey, go run to that ranch." And so I ran to this ranch, and there was this bush, maybe a little bit bigger than this bush right here. And I crawled into a fetal position, and I hid behind this bush. And the smuggler said, "I cannot believe the Border Patrol didn't see you. You were right in front of him." And I could hear him talking with his walkie-talkie. And but somehow, the Lord shielded me that the Border Patrol didn't see me. And then after that, he told me, get inside that trunk of a car that was parked in front of the ranch. And it's, I don't know if you know, it's a Mustang too. It's a little bit bigger than a Toyota. So I'm about the same height I was back then. I was pretty tall. And I'm crammed in this trunk, and I could barely fit in there. And I was there about, I was in that car for about hour 45 minutes. But it seemed like it was longer than that, maybe 3-4 hours to me. And I started kicking and screaming because I got claustrophobic. But the smuggler just it pretty much ignored me. Soon after the hour and 45 minutes, we were past San Clemente. San Clemente is a checkpoint in California. So then after that, he let me sit in the driver's seat. I mean, in the passenger seat inside the car. So we made it to Grandma's house. And my grandma and I didn't get along. I was still very rebellious. She would take me to church, and I went with her more of a tradition with her. You know, I was pretty much a pew potato, or a couch potato, or a bench potato, bench warmer. I didn't study the Bible. I didn't know much about God's love. Let me describe a little bit of how I was back then. It says, the seed sown by the wayside represents the Word of God. As it falls upon the heart of an inattentive hearer, like the hardened, beaten path trodden down by the feet of man, the beast is the heart that becomes a highway of the world's traffic, its pleasures and sins. Absorbed in selfish aims and sinful indulgences, the soul is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The spiritual faculties are paralyzed. Men hear the word, but understand it not. They do not discern that it applies to themselves. They do not realize their need or their danger. They do not perceive the love of Christ, and they pass the message of His grace as something that does not concern them. So, I would go to church to socialize, to mingle with the girls. But I would have a terrible time living with Grandma. And I decided to leave Grandma. I was about 18 years old. It's 17, 18 years old about the time. I didn't have a place to stay. Even though I did have a job, I did not have a place to stay. So I would stay in my car. I would find a secluded place, a private place that I could go and sleep there. And I would be sleeping in my car for several days, you know, until my uncle asked me that I could stay with him in his garage for a while. And until I got an apartment. I looked for a different job, another job to pay the apartment. I got a part-time job delivering pizzas. And my first job was in a factory where they build furniture. When I was working in that furniture store, there was an accident, and one of my coworkers lost his life. There was a pressure pot that exploded. It took half his face off, and therefore, they got into bankruptcy. They filed for bankruptcy, and pretty soon I was laid off and out of work out of that first job. But since then, I still had my pizza job. So one night I was working in the pizza delivery place, and somebody called for an order for pizza. So I went on my way to deliver the pizza. And it was a phony delivery because the guy that the address where I went to, the guy pulled out of the bushes with the hood on himself and got himself showed me this Crocodile Dundee sized knife with him and told me he demanded the pizza. So I said, okay, well, here's the soda too while you're at it. So, you know, and the Lord spared my life that time too. It can all often reflect on that, and this verse comes to mind that says, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I was still getting into trouble. I would like to go to dance clubs. One night, I went to a dance club. I met a person there. He said he would introduce me to some ladies. So he told me to give him a ride to a certain address. So I went, I gave him this ride to a shady part of LA where he told me to park the car outside the apartments and wait in the car. So I waited there and the guy wouldn't come out. Pretty soon, a couple of guys just open the doors of my car, get inside, make themselves at home. And they said, your friend just bought some drugs. And he said you would pay for them. And he said, I said, well, I don't know anything about this. I did have $20 with me. I said, I give you this $20 that I wanted out of that situation. And they said, if I were to give them a ride to the next block, they would let me go. So I was reluctant and I said, okay, well, it doesn't hurt anything to give these guys a ride. So I went to this other block and there was another guy there. And they yelled to this guy, said, hey, come on in. This guy's going to take us to Watts. And I don't know if you're familiar in California, Watts is a very dangerous place, especially at night. There's a very little chance you'll come out alive, especially with those kind of people. I knew if I took him there that there was little hope for me. So I started pleading with them that I didn't want nothing to do with that. But at the same time, even though I was not searching for the Lord, He was looking after me. And I prayed, and I started arguing with them, and the guy that was sitting in the back of my seat all of a sudden got out and put a throat in my knife. And he said, you're going to do what we're to tell you, and you're going to be quiet about it. So I'm still praying and driving, and the lights turn red all of a sudden in a busy street of LA. And I got an impression by the Lord saying that I should turn off the car and start running as fast as I could. So that's what I did. I turned off the car and I run with all my might. I believe those guys that were running after me, but they never could catch me. I was running so fast. And I made it to a hotel where I managed to call the police and ask them for an escort back to my car, where the car was sitting in the middle of the street with the doors open. And they took me back to my car. And the Lord spared my life that time also. So I got laid off from my job from that accident that happened, and I was unemployed. I couldn't live with just a part-time pizza delivery. There was an uncle living in Oregon that called me and said, "There's a job opening in Oregon." So I was on my way to Oregon. He was living in Williams. And I started attending the church that he was going to in Williams. And this was of October of 1990, where I met what would be my future wife. By the month of February 91, I was married to her. My wife thought of me as a devoted husband, but she was wrong. I was a devoted Christian. She thought of me as a devoted person, but she was wrong. I had a lot of problems that I had not changed. I didn't want to change. I had hardened my heart and didn't want to change. Soon after we got married, we started having problems. We argued a lot. We fought a lot. And my wife suffered immensely because of the ways I was cherishing my sins. Soon Elisa was born. Elisa was the only daughter I wanted. I'm ashamed of this. After 9 years of Elisa, Elisa was about 9 years, my wife became pregnant. And I'm ashamed of these thoughts, but I did not want this pregnancy. I had many temptations. And the devil had very good hold on me. And I gave in to them. There's a secular movie out there. You can find it in Blockbusters, Hollywood Video, anywhere. One of the secular movies that there's very few movies out there that have a good message. It's called Fireproof. My wife and I can relate to that movie by the characters portrayed in that movie. So when Daniel was born, there was a change in my life and my heart. Daniel, as you all know, he's autistic. In the first years of his life, he was very sick. And the Lord continued to work in me. He didn't have eye contact. He would not speak. Even though he didn't speak with words, he spoke with actions. He knew about hugs, kisses. The Lord taught me patience and about love. He would hardly complain with all the medicine he would take and all the blood drawn. And I remember one time we took him to a blood drawn. He just put his arm right there and said, "Come on, let's do it." I was just amazed about his courage and everything. And the Lord continued to work in me. But I still haven't given my heart completely to the Lord. I was still doing a lot of things I was not supposed to do. And my marriage was on its last leg. One night, we had a terrible argument, my wife and I, very heated. And after 17 years, who can blame her? We had an argument, and she said she had enough. We were to get a divorce. So we went to bed mad. And she prayed to the Lord that night. And she asked the Lord what she was to do. She got an impression not to divorce me. Later on, she climbed into bed with me and told me that she prayed about it, that what the Lord told her, impressed her not to divorce me. That same night, there was a change in my life. I also was sick and tired of my lifestyle, of the ways I was doing things, and the Lord impressed me to change my life around. That I needed to surrender all my problems. I thought many times I could change all my problems on my own. It doesn't work that way. You have to surrender everything to the Lord. And I would often think about my children. These thoughts came into me that night that about my marriage, and especially about Daniel. That little sweet little boy. I didn't know how to witness to him because he didn't speak at the time. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to be able to witness to him so he could have a chance of salvation. And the Lord continued to work on me, and I started to see the love of my son and the love of my God, my Father. I'm still on the process of growing in Christ. I have seen both sides of good and evil. I know I'm much happier now. I'm more peaceful, getting to know the Lord. He has blessed my family immensely. Since I changed my life around, He has done a miracle in my life. I no longer have the same habits I used to have. He has done so much for my family that He gave my wife back. He's working on Daniel's health, and my daughter has better grades in school. There are many temptations out there. I know they're attractive and they are alluring. Let me tell you what the Bible says of temptation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, no wait, that's not it. Wherefore, it's on 1 Corinthians. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There had no temptation taken you but such as common man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it, that you may be able to bear it. So I am here before you, willing to grow in Christ. I know if I give Satan 1 inch, he's going to take a mile. That's why I have to live moment by moment and be on guard 24/7. And surrender everything to the Lord. And only with Christ I shall be victorious. To end, I'd like to share what the book of Acts of Apostles says. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Through the power of Christ, men and women have broken the chains of sinful habit. They have renounced selfishness. The profane have become reverent. The drunken sober, the profligate pure. Souls that have borne the likeness of Satan have become transformed into the image of God. This change is in itself a miracle of miracles. A change wrought by the Word. It is one of the deepest mysteries of the Word. We cannot understand it. We can only believe it. As declared by the Scriptures, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I have decided from now on that I will follow Jesus. And there's no turning back. I know that I've done a lot of terrible things that I'm not proud of. But there is hope. I know that I feel like I got cheated. 17 years, that there's a time span that I could have enjoyed my family more than I did. And I'm glad to have a second chance. Our closing hymn is number 70. I have decided to follow Jesus. It's number 70 on the choral books. If you would like to stand.
None go with me, still I will follow.
Borrow your hands. Dear Heavenly, precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you for so many blessings. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us all times. Accompany us. Stay in our heart. Stay in our minds, that we be able to fight the enemy, that we could surrender our lives, and that we can be closer to you and get ready for your coming. Bless each one of us this morning and the ones that didn't come. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.